This is Reverend Kirk Lawton, minister at Ocean Lakes Family Campground, and this is our podcast. Our prayer is that this message may enrich your life as you find God especially meaningful to you. Thank you for worshiping with us. In the song, There is a Balm in Gilead, there's one stanza which goes, "If you can't preach like Peter, if you can't pray like Paul, just tell the love of Jesus and say he died for all." Have you ever been around a person who just lifted your spirits to the very throne of heaven by prayer? This may be some man or woman whom you very much admire, and you're grateful that this one has been called on to pray, because you know you will feel that you are right there in the presence of God during that person's prayer. I have also had some experiences where I have been to conferences and have heard some preachers or others who have really blessed my life. They were truly exceptional in their ability, and my life was richer for hearing them. But you know, I think I would gladly give up all of that if I could just one time hear Simon Peter preach. Oh, what a powerful preacher he must have been. Paul was another man I'd love to hear. Paul had preached in many of the big cities of his day, and he wrote to the Romans that he had often tried to preach to them, but he was hindered from doing so. There are those who might have said that Paul was afraid to go to Rome. It was as if they had said, well, Paul could preach the gospel in Jerusalem or maybe in Antioch or Athens or Corinth, but he'll find it a difficult matter if he tries to preach the gospel in Rome, that mighty capital of the world with all of its wickedness, its cruelty, its pomp and power. Well, if there were those who thought such, Paul was quick to respond. His response is recorded in Romans 1st chapter, verse 15. Paul said, "As much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." And then in the very next verse from Romans, Paul gives a statement which I'd like for us to use as our text for today. Romans 1:16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Ashamed of Christ. When Paul wrote another letter to the Christian church at Philippi, he echoed those words. He said to them, as recorded in Philippians, the first chapter, verse 21, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ may be magnified in my body, whether it is by life or by death." What a terrible day has fallen upon us when we find people who profess to be followers of Jesus who are actually ashamed of him. Those who profess to be identified with him, but yet who are ashamed to admit it. Too many of us are like the little girl who went away for a week to camp one summer at a camp which was not a church-related camp. After she came home, she got to talking about how bad some of the other girls acted, how unchristlike they were. Her mother then asked her, "Well, honey, what did they say when they found out that you were a Christian?" "Oh, mother," the girl replied, "I never did let them know I was a Christian." Perhaps one reason why too many of us are ashamed is because we do not live the kind of life which would demonstrate our Christian faith. For if a person lives a life which betrays what they profess to believe, then that person has reason to be ashamed for the weak stand for Jesus. The psalmist understood this situation pretty well. He said, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes, then shall I not be ashamed." That's Psalm 119, verses 5 and 6. Have you ever noticed how true it is that those who really have had a life-changing experience with God are the ones who are most willing to stand up for Jesus? On the other hand, it is those who have no such experience who consistently find the most fault with the work of the Lord, His church, and with those who are seeking to be faithful. No person has a right to be a critic of the church unless it is done from the inside. It is only when you have first given of your very best that you are then qualified to criticize. Sometimes you see large families wherein the members of the family might get into right heated discussions among themselves, child against child, even to the point of fighting sometimes. But you just let an outsider say something about a fellow member of that family, boy, then the trouble really begins. It's no wonder that so many people misunderstand what Christianity is all about. They're looking at it from the wrong side. To the one who is not in Christ, even preaching itself is foolishness. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. That's 1 Corinthians 1:18. Now, if this be true, and we know it is, then the preachers of the cross must be to the world fools. Our Lord was popular when He first proclaimed the kingdom, worked miracles, and fed the multitudes. But when He began to preach that the ones who followed Him must deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow Him, then the crowd dwindled until at last Jesus said to His disciples, "Will you also go away?" That's John chapter 6, verse 67. You see, it was not far from the multitude who wanted to crown Him king to the mob who wanted to crown Him with thorns. From the Sunday before Easter, Palm Sunday, to Easter itself. One day they were ready for His coronation. A little later, they demanded His crucifixion. The modern world is not very much different either. It has not really improved in its attitude toward Jesus. Yes, we've had 2,000 or so years of Christianity, and the gospel has made its impact, but the world still hates Jesus and what He stands for and demands. It would crucify Him again if He were to return now with the same kind of revolutionary gospel He proclaimed when He was on earth. People are always ready to crown Him a king who will feed them with loaves and fishes. But they are not so willing to go with a suffering Savior the way of the cross. One more word about this matter of being ashamed. I know and will readily agree that we should not go around like the Pharisees parading our religion just to be seen of people just for show. Oh no. There's nothing quite so obnoxious as one who goes through the form of religion for purpose of impressing others. Whether this be a Pharisee sounding a trumpet before he gives a gift, or maybe a group of people in a city publicly praying on a city street to make an impression on their hearers. We should and do refrain from public show just for the sake of show. But what about other occasions when we back down and change our regular way of doing just to conform to what we think the world would think of us? Let's use, for example, the matter of praying a little prayer of thanksgiving, even in a public place, before eating. Do you do this? Or do you just skip that practice because you're afraid somebody might look at you and think that you're strange? Are you actually ashamed to bow your head and utter a brief, silent prayer? Surely not. Suppose there should be someone who would ridicule you for such a practice. You know what Paul says about this? He says in 1 Peter 4:16, "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." In the book of Romans, Paul gives the reason why he was not ashamed of the gospel. For it was, and it is still, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. This word translated power is the word in Greek dunamis. That's the word from which we get our word dynamite. There is spiritual dynamite in the gospel of Jesus. It's not just a novel or a pretty way of thinking. The gospel is the power of God Himself. Nothing is more powerful than the gospel. It has and still can change even the worst of lives. It is a kind of power that is not bound by the forces of sin in this world, powerful though they may be. You may have heard that praise sometimes, preachers are encouraged to preach the gospel, brother. Well, there is power in doing such. And the same could be applied not just to preachers, but to Sunday school teachers, leaders, and others. I heard some time ago about a preacher who took his old, worn copy of the New Testament to a bookbinder to have it rebound. His New Testament copy was really just about in tatters. He wanted to have it fixed. So when he got it back some days later, he found that it was so small, this is just the New Testament only, that the bookbinder had been unable to write the words "the New Testament" on the outside binding. So instead, the man wrote only the three initials. Instead of "the New Testament," he put on there TNT. Right. The gospel is powerful. The gospel of which Paul spoke was powerful enough to turn the world upside down. For this was exactly what it was said of those at Thessalonica in Acts 17, verse 6. "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Now, of course, we must first believe this gospel so much that it changes us before we receive its power. God has all the power at His disposal, and He sends us forth in His power. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore." When we go out into the world in this power, then we shall have no reason whatsoever to be ashamed. For we shall go in His power, in the power of His might. Yes, there's a war on Christianity today. Everywhere we look, people are attacking Christians and their faith. Why does such hatred exist toward Christianity? Well, the answer is that the Christian faith, as revealed in the Holy Bible, is in direct opposition to the one world agenda. And this is about the only thing left that is in opposition. You see, we as Christians and Bible believers believe in divine creation. The world believes in just intelligent design. We stand for personal responsibility. Those who do not believe the Bible will often profess that they like better social determinism. Bible believers believe in moral absolutes, some things are right or wrong. Others believe in moral relativism. Depends on how you look at it, whether it's right or wrong. And on we could go. One preacher asked, "Why are we in fact seeing such an escalation and all these other types of media attacks on Jesus and His followers?" I believe the answer is that in this age of tolerance, diversity, multiculturalism, that is, sacred concepts in the mainstream media being ridiculed, there is no room today in much of what we are surrounded with for a man who declared that he was the only true way to heaven. Are we ashamed to profess this? We preach that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No person comes to the Father but by Him. I want to close what I have to say this morning by giving you some verses from the Bible, which I think will give us comfort and reassurance and perhaps direction. First from Isaiah 50, verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know I shall not be ashamed. In the Old Testament book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 27, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Then over to the New Testament, Romans 9, verse 33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him, that's Jesus, shall not be ashamed. And finally, 1 John 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Are you ashamed of Christ? We should not be, because Jesus has the power and he's given us the power to stand for him even in adverse circumstances. Will you pray with me that God will give to each of us that kind of spiritual power? Lord, we know that the call to follow Jesus is not always an easy call, because we are opposed by those in the world who have no love or care or belief in Jesus. Help us, O God, to know that when we follow Jesus and his way, then we are really on the winning side. And we have no reason to be ashamed of Jesus. Father, forgive us for days when we have shown that we are ashamed. And help us, Lord, to be willing to stand for Jesus, who stood and gave his life for us on that old rugged cross. This we pray in his wonderful name. Amen.